From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on June 18th when Rochester City Council voted 5-4 to adopt a new city budget. The administration of Mayor Malik Evans has touted a number of aspects of this budget, which the mayor has called a prosperity budget. City Hall points to a tax cut, public safety initiatives, bridge and other infrastructure completion, workforce training support, recruit classes for the Rochester Police and Fire Departments, and more. As City Council President Miguel Melendez told WXXI after the vote, there is no doubt that council is divided right now, but the majority block of five members voted to support this budget, and Melendez says he wants to find common ground with the block of four who opposed it. Councilmember Willie Lightfoot told WXXI News he has spoken to members of the community, and he sees a discrepancy between the stated mission of city government and the values presented in this budget. But Mayor Evans noted this is a budget that did not cut programs or services, and in many ways expanded programs while being, in his words, fiscally responsible. The budget includes investments into the Buy the Block homeownership program, the city's roof repair program, the Office of Violence Prevention, the Maplewood Nature Center, the Children's Savings Account pilot. That's just a short list here, and we'll talk more about what is in this budget. The mayor says equity is key to prosperity, and he believes this budget does model that value. Let's talk about it with our guest this hour, Rochester Mayor Malik Evans. Welcome back to the program, Mr. Mayor.
Evan, great to be with you.
Also with us is Miguel Melendez, Jr., president of Rochester City Council. Miguel, welcome back here.
Thanks for having me.
Mitch Gruber is a member of council, chair of the council's finance committee. Welcome back.
Greetings.
So let me start with Mayor Evans. You called a prosperity budget. What does that term mean to you in this context?
What prosperity means is exactly what the name says, prosperity. This budget has no service cuts, no layoffs, no tax increases that will impact people, and it actually cuts the tax rate. 37.5% for residential and over 27% for commercial. Expanded youth employment opportunities. On Monday, I welcomed the largest youth employment that the city has ever had in its history. Let me repeat that again to you, Evan. The largest youth employment that the city has ever had in its history, I had on Monday. Increased money for GIVE funding that I worked extremely close with the state to get. Over $3.5 million in GIVE funding, which stands for Gun-Involved Violence Elimination Program. Socio-emotional support. All of our rec centers have socio-emotional support. Even though all of the ARPA revenue, which we have already committed, has to be committed by 2024, spent by 2026, we've still been able to continue programs that we put forth through the ARPA program, American Rescue Plan Act. Thanks to our great president, Joseph R. Biden. He will go down as one of the best presidents for cities as a result of this ARPA program. Home and roof repair programs. Our lead-free program by 2030, making sure that we replace every single lead pipe in the city by 2030. Our tree expansion. Our Office of Financial Empowerment having funding for our children's savings account and our entrepreneurship support program. So I can go on and on, which I know we'll talk about. That is what prosperity means. That is what matters. And I'll also say that I am probably one of the first mayors in the history of Rochester that actually reaches out to council in advance of putting a budget together. So, for example, right now we're starting to think about the 25-26 budget. By September, I will be reaching out to Councilmember Gruber, who will then survey his colleagues to let us know. So last year, around this time, we started reaching out on the 24-25 budget. We also have telephone town halls in which the administration has talked to thousands of people through telephone town halls. And then I'll just mention, before I conclude, because I know you want to get to the other folks, there's also budget-adjacent things that are important. This is the first time in decades that we got increased AIM aid from New York State because of our partnership, $5 million more in AIM aid, and $25 million in anti-poverty aid that will be funneled through the county. I call that a budget-adjacent item. This also supports our Vision Zero program, our Neighbors Building Neighbors 2.0, our Healthy Food Initiative, our expanded Raise-A-Rita program. So when I say prosperity, that's what it means. That's what this budget is.
Miguel,
talk about a price point.
Miguel Melendez, budget. Yeah. What's the headline to you here, sir?
Yeah, I mean, I think to the mayor's point, we spent a lot of energy and work, both in collaboration, but also as council members, we've done a lot of advocacy in the last 6-7 months to make sure that the priorities of council are reflected in what is proposed in the city budget. It makes it a lot easier for us to move forward when we have collaboration and are able to move items that we hear from the community into the city budget. around April or so, we created a pact with the people that focused on three major priorities, which had sub-bullets, and many of which are included in the budget. And those focuses were around safer neighborhoods, quality housing, and equitable access to opportunities. And producing an on-time budget is also important. We were one vote away from this not being an on-time budget. And it's important to note that, you know, we have 3,000 employees that provide critical services, everything from trash cleanup to making sure that our neighborhoods are safe. And by producing an on-time budget with many adjacent items that we'll say are council-adjacent items that we produce through budgetary intent, we've been able to add a lot of critical services and respond to a lot of needs in this budget.
And let me just follow up on one point you made about listening to the community, especially with some of the work that obviously it's been going on since your term started, but really a lot's happened this year on council, in which I would sum it up this way, and you can correct me if you don't think this is correct, but I don't think there's any governing body in the world that doesn't have some dissension. That's normal. Sure. In this case, especially over the winter into the spring, there were a lot of meetings and there were a lot of situations in council where it seemed that you felt that the work that needed to get done to deal with direct city business was sometimes backburnered. And you and some of your colleagues invited anyone who wanted to join the pact with the people to do so.
And I still invite them, by the way.
To do so. You did that. Five joined you. And you put these initiatives, or at least these priorities, forward. And then 3 months later, here we are, and you say that a lot of that has borne fruit here that you can see in the budget. What's an example of that?
Sure. So some examples of that include fully funding a Raising a Reader program. I mean, that is something we advocated for. We know that education can't just be solely dependent on the system or the education system at RCSD or the library systems. And we have to put our money where our mouth is if we want to see literacy outcomes change in the city of Rochester. In addition, home, roof, and emergency repair programs when it comes to housing. When you look at mental health services, we asked for a continuation of not just PIC, but looking at the pilot we did with social workers in libraries and in our centers. Those are services that are not only continuing, they're actually expanding. And then EMS, there's no qualms about it that we have some challenges in emergency medical services and response times. And we're evaluating. We put money in the budget to evaluate whether or not we should be doing something different in that space. So these are all things that we asked for, that we put forward as proposals, and that they landed in the budget.
Councilmember Gruber, I mean, some of it is just the nuts and bolts hard work of city governance that isn't always the sexy headline. But, I mean, part of what the president is talking about is some initiatives or some priorities that you think had to get done here. How do you see this budget?
Yeah, well, first I want to zoom out a little bit. Okay. So the mayor calls it a prosperity budget. I've been inclined to use language that Miguel uses a lot too, and just calling it a good news budget. And I want to look, I think sometimes it's hard to see just how much good news it is without zooming out a little bit. And I just want to go to our West. I love the city of Buffalo. I'm a Bills fan. Every time I go to Buffalo, I think things are really good there. It feels like there's some exciting things happening. Their mayor this year proposed a 9% tax increase. Their city council was furious about that. And at the night of the budget vote, cut $2.3 million worth of services so that they could cut the budget the tax rate increase down to 4.5%. So our city had a reassessment, cut our tax rate by, what was the final number, Mayor?
37.5%.
In Buffalo, the mayor wanted to raise taxes by 9%, and the council, to do their job the best they could, finally agreed on a 4.5% raise. But to do that, they cut $2.3 million of things that the mayor had put in the budget. This budget does not include cuts. That is a remarkable thing right now. And I also have to zoom out in one other way to a national level. So compare us to Buffalo, it's a good news budget. Look nationally, I agree with what the mayor said about the Biden administration. There is no, I mean, we're going to look back on this in 50 years and say what the American Recovery Plan Act did for cities No other single act has done for cities. But it is a double-edged sword. It is very challenging for cities to get this massive infusion of cash for a couple of years and then to wean themselves off without seeing massive cuts. So many cities are struggling with that right now. I would say this budget, in addition to being a good news budget, is also doing an excellent job of weaning us off of ARPA dollars so that we don't use it as a crutch. So things like our offensive violence prevention don't all of a sudden have to go away when ARPA is gone. That is, to your point, this is not the sexy part of government, but it is, in fact, good governance to make sure that we're not raising taxes, we're not leaning on ARPA too much, and this budget does those things.
Let me key in on what the council member is saying and look ahead a little bit. But first, let me look back. It was the better part of, boy, two decades ago. We're all getting older. When Monroe County had a big chunk of money from a tobacco settlement, go way back here, and was able to use that money in kind of what we would call a one shot, which means not continuing revenue, not continuing money that's going to be there year after year. But you could stand up in front of the cameras and say, hey, we got a balanced budget. We didn't raise taxes. You know, we did this and that, knowing that the next year was going to be hard. And what Mitch Gruber just talked about is the ARPA money, if you don't plan for it, you got to be very careful to know that that money is not necessarily coming so that in a year from now, we're not talking about a Buffalo situation. Is that fair? And do you feel like that the city is now in a position where you won't be in that position later?
Correct. I think the city has done a remarkable job. I think that this has been a tradition. I mean, I obviously want to give our council credit and Mayor Evans credit, but this is also a tradition of the city of Rochester to be a fiscally sound and a fiscally prudent city. That being said, there's also some parts, you know, this everyone who prognosticates on the state budget says that eventually the state's going to see the bottom fall. We're going to have a bad budget year soon with the state. When that happens, there'll be some domino effect in Rochester, too, that we can't control. But of the things we can control, of the way that this administration and this council has used ARPA dollars, we have set ourselves up so that the bottom is not going to fall out at any time.
And let me be clear about something. We have to decide, and this is what in every executive deals with, and I am involved in the African American Mayors Association, the U.S. Conference of Mayors, National Civic League. So one of the goals of our administration is the larger context. So I survey around what's happening around the rest of the country. And people were shocked at the vote as it related to the budget. But some people decided that they were not going to vote for the budget before I even announced it. Let's just be clear about that. That's just politics. I understand it. It's all good. And I don't even want to talk about that because we got too much positive stuff to talk about. But let's just be clear about that. That, you know, there were folks that decided they were going to vote no on the budget before they even saw it. But why this is important for us, because for me, as an executive, as the mayor of the city, I have to do the politics of governing, not performance. Because if I am not responsible, as with ARPA, as Councilmember Gruber said, it will get us in trouble. But just a couple of days ago, I got our S&P Global ratings. It assigned us with a AA- rating. Our outlook is strong. And they looked at this because of our strong budget that we passed, our strong budgetary controls, manageable debt service, our growing economy, and large-scale development occurring throughout the city, and that we have a stable tax base and that we have sound financial policies and practices and institutional framework. That costs taxpayers less money because when we go to borrow to do large sales projects, if we have those types of things, that is important for us to have that stable outlook. So we're very, very happy about that. And I would just say this about ARPA. ARPA has allowed me to do some of the most innovative things that the city has ever seen. And that is not hyperbole. Our Healthy Food Initiative, our Rock Grocer Initiative, our innovative things that have not been done before, our Peace Collective, which started to be funded by ARPA, but now we are able to fund these programs through 2026 when ARPA will go away. All ARPA funds have to be appropriated by December 31st, 2024 and spent by December 31st, 2026. Rochester is already way above that way. But we also made sure that we spent money in a way to make sure that it would programs that we thought that would be great would not be ARPA dependent. So you see this using ARPA funds to make sure that we are accelerating our lead pipe replacement program. So we're very, very good news. So we've been able to use ARPA to not only do innovative things, but also use it in a way to make sure that it doesn't get us in trouble down the line where we're relying on revenue, to your point, that could be just one shot.
Mayor, I understand your point about wanting to focus on the positive and feeling like in politics there's always going to be dissent. And you feel like there was going to be no votes no matter what was in this budget. So I take that point. Some of the dissent on council came from a claimed lack of funding support for child poverty in this budget. Do you think any of that concern is valid?
I think that from what I just rolled out in terms of what, you know what else this budget continues to support? This budget also continues to support our guaranteed basic income program. This budget, during this budget process, we got $25 million
from the state.
From the state in poverty reduction that we're working on a plan for. No budget is perfect. We always need more money. Rochester has the smallest budget in Monroe County. Monroe County has a bigger budget. The Rochester City School District has a bigger budget, topping $1 billion. But the dollars that we had and where we were able to put these dollars are having a massive impact on the success that is critical to build within our city. So I think we've done a great job with this budget. I think that the numbers that we allocated speak for themselves. Do we always need more money? Absolutely. But we also have the obligation to residents to make sure that we pass a budget that is on time and tries to prioritize all of the priorities that we set.
Councilmember Gruber?
Yeah, I would just, in terms of that dissension that you just talked about, I just want to add a couple things. First of all, I think that the Child Savings Account, which is a program that the Evans administration has rolled out, and both President Melendez and I are serving on the advisory board for. There's probably no more direct impact of a municipal budget on childhood poverty than a program like that, and it's right here in the budget itself. But I just want to call out more explicitly that we had, as a council, a number of opportunities to submit amendments around how to take money from here and put it there, and because there was no amendment proposed by anyone who dissented against the budget that related specifically to childhood poverty. Unless I'm mistaken, President Melendez, there was one amendment proposed, which we can talk about and get into, but it certainly had nothing to do with childhood poverty. So what I would say to anyone who is against this budget is tell me where you want to see city investment that wasn't currently made. If people say, well, this department is funded heavier than this department and that's funded heavier than that department, I functionally agree that there is some disparity there that I wish wasn't the case. Oftentimes these are based on collective bargaining agreements and union contracts because the vast majority of city dollars are going to be on personnel. So if you want to have that conversation, let's have it. But I challenge anyone to look at this budget and say there needs to be more investment in XYZ. Raising the Reader program is a perfect example of this. It is not a direct childhood poverty program, but we are using the library system to build on the educational system that we know is failing our children. That's coming out of our budget. I didn't see anyone amending that to put more money into it or anything like that. So I would just be cautious about the language around dissension versus the actual actions of dissension.
Anything you want to add, President Melendez?
Yeah, I think what I'll add to this is it's also incumbent upon us once we pass a budget to make sure that there is an emphasis on delivering for the citizens of Rochester. And if there's particular neighborhoods or challenges that are in a given area that we want to see addressed through the means of the budget that we just passed, we can do things as a community and as a council and as an administration to collaboratively address some of the concentrated challenges we see in our community. So I don't think the work ends with a budget vote. I think the budget vote sets the tone for the next year in terms of priority and investments, and it's incumbent upon all of us to come together then and to identify the gaps.
Councilmember Gruber, can you explain more about what the Children's Savings Account pilot is?
Sure. I mean, I'm sure the mayor would like to talk about it in more depth, but essentially we are planning right now with some initial funds, mostly from the ESL Foundation that helped to kind of seed this. We are planning on Hopefully at some point starting every child in the city of Rochester with a savings account. There's still many things to consider in terms of when will that be triggered? Is it at birth? Is it at enrollment in kindergarten? How much money? What incentives will there be over time to add to it? But it is a it is directly putting money into families' bank accounts, and I'd welcome the mayor to add anything to that.
Yeah, so this is why we say this is a prosperity budget. All the data shows that if young people start saving at a very early age, they have greater success as they go throughout life. And it gives them dollars that they then can use when they leave high school. They can take that to go out of college or go into an industry or use it to just live life. And that is what this is modeled after. It's modeled after what has been done in other places such as St. Paul, Minnesota. They're kind of like our mentor city that we are looking for guidance as we roll this out. And I just want to add one other point about our overall success of making sure that young people are set up for success. As I mentioned at the top of the hour when you did your intro, we have the largest summer jobs program that the city has ever had, not counting our outside partners in Rochester Works, who are also hiring hundreds and hundreds of kids. And we also, this budget also includes a job training program for 12 to 14-year-olds that are getting them set up for success before they even start being able to work because they don't get a work permit until they turn, 14 or 15. So we even have a pre-employment program for youth to make sure that dollars are there. There's also carryover money in ARPA funds for our workforce development program. Almost $17.5 million. I think half of that is still carried over into this budget. That goes into places to say, here are the jobs of the future, and here's how we match you up to those jobs to make sure that families are getting enrolled in jobs that are going to be able to get them dollars. And then in terms of our employees, because we have thousands of employees that work for the city, we converted almost our entire employee base is now converted from part-time to full-time employees. Every single one of our union contracts are settled. So, it's funny sometimes how nationally people look at this budget and say, oh, wow, Mayor, you guys are really doing it. How are you able to do that? Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees, but I'm thankful that the broader community is very excited about this budget. I was with a group of probably 50 senior citizens on Saturday. And you know what they said? Mayor, thank you for the tax cut. Thank you for the tax cut, Mayor. We knew that inflationary pressure was important. And the one thing we also didn't note at the top of the hour was that whenever we start building a budget, we start with a multi-million dollar gap because of inflation, because of healthcare costs, because of pension costs. So before I even present a balanced budget to city council, I have to make sure that budget is balanced. So imagine the work that I had to do from June of 2000, and council doesn't see any of this, June of 2023 till April of 2024 of making sure that I present a balanced budget when I have all these other inflationary costs, just like everyone else has in their household. And yet I was able to do that, still make sure that it included council priorities, still made sure that it included innovative priorities, such as there is actually something that a council member asked for that's in the budget, that council has talked about participatory budgeting. We even have dollars carved out for that. So we still were able to be innovative, creative, and responsive in this budget, despite the internal structural deficits that every municipality has across the country.
President Melendez?
Yeah, just a final note on the child savings account piece. No shade at check cashing places, but you know it's been proven that there's a lot of predatory type businesses that take advantage of folks that are in poverty. And when we look at programs like the Child Savings Account, it's really introducing young people at a very early age and their families to the idea that banking can be different and you don't have to pay these exorbitant fees to have resources in your own community. So I think this is another way that we can flip the opportunities into and when we look at equity across the city, making sure that young people have access to resources and then also are educated in how to be bankable.
And I'm sorry, Evan, one other thing about the prosperity. One of the other things, the pathway to prosperity is home ownership. Not only have we built dozens and dozens of homes in the Northeast, this budget also provides funding for bringing and building dozens and dozens of homes, I believe close to 30 homes on the west side of the city through our By the Block green lighting program. So you talk about prosperity, that's prosperity. So that is also another piece that is also in this budget, the expansion of our Buy the Block program to the west side of the city that has been so successful in the northeast side of the city on Thomas Street and Uyghur Street. Now you will see these homes being built in conjunction with our work around the Bull's Head Project, which also is funded in this current 24-25 budget.
You're hearing Rochester Mayor Malik Evans, President of Council Miguel Melendez, Mitch Gruber, a member of Council and Chair of the Council's Finance Committee, talking about the recent budget and the priorities in it. You heard a little bit about GBI. So I want to ask about this so we get a full accounting of where this is. And I'm going to try to do my best to explain to listeners what GBI is and where we are, and then I'll let our guests tell you where it goes next. First of all, I want to tell you about a new documentary about universal basic income, that's UBI, called It's Basic, and that's happening tomorrow. Saturday, July 13th is tomorrow, isn't it? What
that's
is time
right.
anymore?
It is.
Tomorrow, 11 a.m., Mayor Evans, I've been told, will be there for a discussion.
I will be moderating the discussion, and the film was done by Mayors for Guaranteed Income, which I am a member of, Mayors for Guaranteed Income. They have this great film. We're going to have some actual GBI folks there. If you want to attend, please RSVP online. And it'll be a great discussion.
So it's 11 o'clock at the Little tomorrow. And when you hear UBI and GBI, UBI is universal basic income, and that would mean everybody, universal. So whatever the number is, all citizens would receive that income on usually an annual basis from the government, and we're often talking the federal government when we talk UBI. GBI, general basic income, doesn't mean everybody. It means it is a targeted number. In the case of the city of Rochester, and this is where I'm going to do my best, and then I'll get corrected, I'm sure, $2 million. The first, I think, two different cohorts, 333 or so people, $500 a month for 1 year. And those cohorts, that first group wrapping up at some point this year, they'll tell me when. Now, the mayor and our guests here from council said a year ago when they talked about GBI on this program that they strongly believed that it would be effective. Because there's already a lot of research out there about UBI, GBI, about targeted cash for people who need it, and about some of the concerns that are raised or the stereotypes that, well, $500 a month, what are they going to use it for? Are they going to buy extraneous items? People typically, especially if they're struggling with poverty, use it for rent, they use it for childcare, they use it for food, they use it for direct needs. Sometimes they use it to save. So for the city of Rochester, it was a one-year program, $2 million. And it's coming to an end, and it wasn't guaranteed to go on. So what my question first for the mayor is this the end of GBI, or is there new money either in this budget, or could you use some of the $25 million coming from the state to either expand GBI for the people, the families involved, grow the cohort, bring on a new group? So where does GBI stand with Rochester?
Well, where it stands is this cohort is coming to a close, and I think that we haven't heard the end of GBI because we have other mechanisms that we are looking for to make sure that we can continue. So we will see how this cohort does without tipping the scales, because we haven't gotten the final report from our independent evaluator, which is the financial lab at Notre Dame University. But I can tell you, just from what we have been hearing from the people that are participating, that it has been extremely successful. And I say this to any of the people who think that there are stereotypes in terms of people wasting this money. Most of the people that are enrolled in GBI, they are what we call working folks. They are working. They might be struggling. Some are saving for a house. I highlighted one particular person at my State of the City address, and it has transformed people's lives. So we know that people don't waste this money. We know that people use this money to set a strong financial future. And I will tell you that we have a great opportunity with the $25 million that I have been able to get from New York State, because I go hard for Rochester in New York State, and they delivered this year. $5 million additional in AIM aid, $25 million in poverty reduction aid to be targeted in zip codes 14605, 14611, and other zip codes within the city. There may be, without getting into all the details here, because I like to have my I's dotted and T's crossed, there may be an opportunity for us to continue the work that we're doing and making sure that we have targeted cash payments to folks that are in need.
It's not in this, just to be clear, it's not in the budget, but the mayor is clearly working on finding ways to continue the program. I would say from my vantage point, I've said this last time I was on the show too, I'm a huge believer in the program. I'm not a huge believer that cities have the opportunity to do this. There's only one entity that can print their own money, and the feds ultimately should be running a program that is similar to this. I mean, this is a whole different conversation. I don't think we need to recreate the wheel and always have new programs. If, frankly, if the feds just actually put more money into TANF, SNAP in particular, we wouldn't necessarily need to create new programs all the time. But we as a city, I think it is our obligation to continue to prove that this is an important thing for government to do, while at the same time being clear that we do not have the resources to give everybody GBI in perpetuity. And that's a hard balance to strike, but it's certainly something that I think the mayor, the president, myself are on the same page on.
Let me just correct one thing. I think I said general basic
income. You did. GBI, guaranteed
basic income. GBI is guaranteed basic income, which means targeted, limited, not you, universal. UBI would be everybody.
Yeah, and just let me add one other point that's important too as it relates to guaranteed basic income. I think that there are other cities that folks can look at and read. I would urge people to see the film if they could. But I think that partnership is key around GBI as well. Public-private partnerships, that's part of the impetus for us wanting to show this film. So that way governments can get dollars from places to be able to do this. But during the pandemic, ladies and gentlemen, we cut poverty in half. Poverty in the United States was cut in half. You know why, Evan? I said this on your show before. Because of the earned income tax credit. During the earned income tax credit.
And child tax credit.
And the child tax credit, we cut poverty in half for a year. Poverty was cut in half in the United States of America. So there's been lots of legislation in Congress. And in fact, I think something may have passed the House in a bipartisan way. I don't think it passed the Senate. And it didn't make it to the president's desk. That extended the earned income tax credit and the child tax credit. So, and that, you know what that was? That was basically guaranteed. That was dollars that were going into people's pockets. And guess what people use those dollars for? You look at the studies on that. They used it to put dollars down for a home. They used it to save for a car so they can get back and forth to work. They used it to save. They used it to make sure that they could have food in their house. There was a small percentage, if not next to none, that went to what some people would call frivolous things. But we also say in GBI that you shouldn't tell people how to spend their money, because how are you going to be in somebody's house telling them what their needs are? So I can't underscore enough the importance of the earned income tax credit as well as the child tax credit.
All right, two other quick points on this, and then we'll move on to some other things. Mayor, I heard Councilmember Gruber make the case that this really should be a federally driven idea, that it's too much to ask municipalities to fund GBI or UBI in an ongoing basis. But if you feel as passionately as you do about GBI, why not put GBI in the budget, even if it's $1 million, even if it's $2 million, $3 million?
Well, I think that could be a possibility. We have to work to find the money. But I think that with our $25 million, the impetus of really pushing for this $25 million in poverty aid from the state was because I believe so much in GBI. And I think that you have to find money. And one of the things that I've been excellent at as mayor is getting money. And finding dollars from different sources. So anything that we want to do, we've been able to find dollars for it. So as we continue to work to try to look at GBI, as I continue to look at the Rochester Peace Collective, as I continue to look at my tree expansion program, I remind folks, we didn't have all the money set for our tree expansion program. Guess what? Now it's fully funded because we found money that was outside of the budget through the Inflation Reduction Act. Thank you, Chuck Schumer. Thank you, Joseph Robinette Biden, who will go down as one of the most consequential presidents in history.
We keep hearing that from our
because cities love this president, because no president in the last 50 years has given as much to cities as it relates to dollars. That's why you're hearing that. And it's important to say that because people aren't. You often only hear when something's wrong. We don't give people their flowers while they're here. So it's important to say that. And that's been effective for our city. So we will do the same thing with GBI and other things that we want to do. Gun-involved violence elimination, $3.2 million from the state. That was money that was not in our budget. That's money that we got from New York State. So you have to be a hunter and a gatherer. And that's what mayors need to be. Can't be a talker. You got to be a hunter and gatherer. You got to know where to find the resources. So if something is a priority for city council, if something is a priority for the mayor, my God, we're going to find it. Private, public sector collaborations is where you find those dollars.
All right. Lastly, $25 million you've heard our guests keep invoking. It's coming from the state. It's actually half of $50 million for municipalities in need. That's how significant the state views the need in Rochester. $25 million. I don't know if that money is – it doesn't sound to me like it's the decision's fully been made, though, on – how much might be GBI out of that? Whether it's
this is the plan is a work in progress.
Okay, so there's no news you can break on that.
I have news, but I'm not breaking any.
Okay,
today.
Well, you're welcome to break.
And nothing's been brought to council for approval yet.
Nothing has been brought to council for approval.
Do we expect some of that to be GBI?
I'll say yes, we'll see.
Okay,
you're trying to get me to break news here. I'm not breaking news here because
you've come pretty close.
I haven't talked to my two council colleagues.
I'm reading between the lines.
Let's just say we're working on a plan. And as I said, if I find something that's a priority, and I want to continue to fund said priority, I will go out and find the dollars, not by talking about it like most people do these days, but being about it, not through the politics of performatives, but the politics of governance. And that is and that means making sure that I have my I's dotted and T's crossed before I talk out of school on your show, which I don't want to do.
Well, right. Evan, as council president, I'll just add this much, which is that I hope some of these dollars will be GBI and presented to council for consideration.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to move on. I want to talk about one other aspect that some members of council were critical in the budget about, and that was how much money is allocated or not for the PAB, the Police Accountability Board. Now, the PAB recently hired a new executive director. They chose Leslie Meyer Small, a very familiar name, formerly the superintendent of the Rochester City School District, and someone that everyone in this room knows, I assume, pretty well. First of all, President Melendez, did that hire surprise you?
Maybe a little bit in terms of just not knowing the pool, right? So not understanding who was interested in the job. We have to go through our council process. We had our confirmation hearing last night. It's not for consideration until July 23rd, so we have some conversations to be had. But when you put out for a national search for him, sometimes you think you might get a wide range of candidates from around the country, and I don't know that was the case in this instance.
Okay. Were you surprised at all, Councilmember Gruber?
I certainly didn't expect someone to come from education into this space, but we had our confirmation hearing yesterday, which is available for anybody to see, recorded on YouTube, and we had an interesting conversation, and we'll have to see where the chips fall.
Where do you stand? Are you comfortable with this hire?
I have some questions after the confirmation hearing yesterday, but I'm hopeful to continue to have conversation about it before a vote.
Is it fair to say you haven't decided on the vote then yet?
Correct.
Okay. Council President Melendez?
Yeah, I'll decide on July 23rd. I want to make sure that I do my due diligence and take the time that I'm allotted as a council member to be deliberative, and I'll do that.
Some of your colleagues on council, again, not in the majority block, not the ones that voted for the budget, President Melendez, have indicated they think more money should be allocated for PAB. Where are you on funding the PAB?
Well, at this point, I mean, we've adequately funded the PAB from my perspective. We've held at least 9 or 10 vacancies at any given time in the last year. And that's not a result of anything other than the changes and the turnover and some of the challenges that have occurred. And so I think, you know, we've overfunded at this point, if you want to look at it that way, because we've had to reallocate money in every budget so far since I've been council president to another line item based on the fact that there's underspending. So I don't think that there's anything that we need to add at this point. I think we need to evaluate where we are, align the needs with what is currently happening on the ground at the agency and in the community, and then make determinations as they make progress as to what else they need.
Okay, Councilmember Gruber?
I actually raised that in the confirmation hearing yesterday. It's unfortunate. Two of the four members you talked about were not at the confirmation hearing yesterday, so we couldn't actually engage in any dialogue about it, which was too bad. But I specifically asked about budget because it's not a good thing when departments have money that they don't spend. That typically means that something is not right in terms of what the budget looks like. So, there's work to do, but it's hard to make an argument that a department should have more money when they don't spend the money they currently have.
Okay. And it sounds, again, I'm not trying to infer too much here, but this is a board and an organization that had a well-publicized, rocky set of years that has stated on this program in the last year, the desire to be taken seriously and to move forward and serve the community as much as they possibly can, even without disciplinary power. Are you at the point, Councilmember Gruber, where you think, look, whatever passed is passed, there's an important role for a PAB, it's funded appropriately, it can do an important role for the community?
Let me say two things about that. One is that I completely agree that the PAB that we see in front of us now, from staff to board, really do seem to be taking the work more seriously than ever before. I think that needs to be stated, and I appreciate that, and I give the interim executive director a lot of credit, a lot of the new hires. Larry Knox, the board chair, has put a lot of work into doing that. So I take them at their face value. I also don't think that we can just say new chapter starts today. This whole idea of a PAB is less than five. Well, I shouldn't say the idea. The whole project is less than 5 years old, and so we need to be able to have a full thread of the conversation when we're looking at things. And so we can't just ignore what the past 2 or 3 years have been. And part of that is around budget and making sure that we're funding the department and funding the project of the PAB appropriately to do the things that they can do and are doing well. And I think that's a conversation that I hope to have with President Melendez, with their board chair, and upon confirmation, their new executive director.
Okay, anything to add there, President Melendez?
Yeah, I think that at this point we've done a lot to improve the quality of what's coming out of the Police Accountability Board, as well as the relationship between the PAB and council. I think there's been a lot of repair that has happened, and there's still more work to be done. What I will add in addition to that, though, is we really have a situation where this is an agency in its infancy. You know, Councilmember Gruber mentioned 5 years, but really, when you think about when they started staffing up and those kind of things, it's been about 3 years. And with those kind of when you start something new like this, it takes a lot of energy to build the organizational management infrastructure. And I think that what we've seen with our previous mistakes is we didn't have someone in place who understood how to build an organization. So it is my hope, regardless of what the next steps are in terms of confirmation, is that the next person who is the executive director of the PAB spends the energy not to build on the ruins of the past, but to build on the possibility of the future. And I'm hoping that that relationship between council and the PAB will be fruitful in that way.
I want to turn to another question on public safety. I don't think the mayor wants to jump in on this PAB. I'll let the mayor, if he wants to say anything about where you see with the PAB.
Are we going to get some time to talk about capital projects?
Absolutely.
Because we got to talk about cranes in the sky and the building that's happening.
We're going to get there in just a second.
I have nothing to
add. Okay, all right.
I have nothing to add.
So one other question I want to ask is where we are. We had a pretty extraordinary conversation on JEDS recently on this program.
Yeah.
And the mayor has talked very approvingly of JEDS. The county executive has. State leaders have. This is a juvenile diversion program, and a year ago, Rochester was among a number of American cities seeing a surge in car thefts, mostly Kia and Hyundai, well-publicized. We met a recently turned 18-year-old who was 17 a year ago when he was arrested for trying to steal a car. Went through the JEDS program, completed it, is going to go to college, talked about the fork in the road that his life was on. Mayor, number one, are you comfortable that JEDS is doing what it needs to do? And number two, what are we seeing in terms of car thefts this year?
Car thefts are down, and I gave the number. I just had it up, but you came to me. We got off on talking about the PAB. Car thefts are down significantly. When I say significantly, I mean off the charts significantly. We still got a long way to go because we still have some young people who are making some bad choices as it relates to car thefts, but they are down significantly. A lot of that is because of JEDS. It has really made a major, major, major difference in terms of what we're seeing in terms of car thefts. So let me give you the exact number because Evan, you notice about me. I just don't like to put things out there without evidence. We now live in a society, I won't get off on a tangent, that could be another show, where people just take the social media, don't know what the hell they're talking about, and don't have evidence. So I always like to have evidence. So motor vehicle thefts, this year through the beginning of June, from last year to this year, are down 64%. We're still not at where we want to be with the five-year average, but we're down 64%. That is as of June 5th. So let me say that that's the most recent data I have, which is about a month old. But that shows that we're moving in the right direction from hitting that spat of car thefts that we saw. And just because my father would always give references, and that is That is taken from FBI crime statistic data that we submit on a regular basis to the FBI. And also, I should just say why we're there. Homicides are down 13%, rapes 3%, robberies 6%, larcenies 38%. And again, these are just numbers. These are just a point in time. You don't see me having big press conferences about these. That's as of June numbers. We want to continue to see those numbers happen. But a lot of why you see those numbers happening is because of our prevention, intervention, and suppression efforts that you see in the budget. And I know Councilmember Gruber is so excited about these capital projects, so I'm going to stop talking.
All right, Councilmember.
No, but I will say, I mean, it is important. I appreciate that the mayor's not out there having press conferences around this every day, because I don't know that would help with the noise. But we do really need to continue to remind people that crime is down substantially. Perception is reality. There's still a lot of people who don't feel that way. I hear that. I see that. I'm sure Miguel hears that and sees that. And I'm sure the mayor's office gets calls about that every day. We have to acknowledge that perception. But we should also be continuing to talk about the rates of crime going down dramatically, because they are.
In many ways, pre-pandemic, lower than pre-pandemic. So, all right, Councilmember Gruber, you said cranes in the sky. That's a phrase you used. What is going on that excites you the most?
Yeah, although cranes in the sky is probably a little bit wrong, because we're not talking about skyscrapers here, but there's some.
They're there.
I mean, there for sure, there's some big building happening, but actually the capital projects in the budget that I'm most excited about, we put $1 million to begin a new development at the public market. The public market, which I think is one of the gems, if not the gem of this city, really needs to have continual investment to make sure that it stays sharp. I'm actually going to Detroit to look at, with some members of the mayor's team, to look at Eastern Market in Detroit, which is one of the few markets that I think rivals ours, to see what they've done with infrastructure. We have $1 million to get us ready for our next big phase of winterizing sheds. Our skate park, phase two and phase three, are in this budget to get ready to be built. There's been huge successes with the skate park. Those are two things that...
Maplewood Nature Park.
Yeah, Maplewood Nature Center is a huge, huge opportunity to really connect kids in the city to nature. There's lots of exciting things happening that are in this budget.
New Maplewood Library.
Yeah. And some of these things are a couple years out, for sure. The Maplewood Library, for example, will take at least 2 years. We just had a temporary location for the Maplewood Library on Lexington Avenue that people should feel comfortable going to, for sure. But a lot of big construction projects. Miguel, what are you most excited about?
Well, I think that I'm going to veer away from capital improvement projects just because I want to talk about budgetary intent items of council. We actually allocated $1 million towards affordable housing to fulfill gaps that, if there's a housing project that's competitive at the state level, we have some additional resources that we can sort of accelerate those projects in a faster way. In addition to that, we allocated $400,000. We're doing $100,000 per quadrant. To be able to do quality of life-based projects. So community groups should be looking to the fall of this year. We plan to roll out a process where people can access resources. And if there's a project in a neighborhood somewhere that impacts quality of life or that, you know, improves the neighborhood on the whole, we will be looking to fund those types of things. And then one of the things we've heard from youth sports organizations across the community is that while, you know, the city does an excellent job on general park maintenance, there's some additional needs with parks when fields are in use. So baseball teams and football teams that need additional support with striping and those kind of things. So we're going to invest $100,000 in youth sports organizations to be able to accommodate their needs and make sure that the fields are ready for our young people to play. So there's a lot of other exciting things, but from my perspective, we've been able to take underruns in the council budget and allocate them to appropriate and impactful ways into the community so that we can move the city forward.
When you come back from Detroit, let's talk about what you see there. A lot of really interesting things are genuinely happening in Detroit. It's one of the few growing, I mean, by population, it had its first growth since 1950 in recent census.
Yeah, the mayor of Detroit is someone who I consult with regularly about what's happening there. You know, Councilmember Gruber is leading a delegation there with our emerging initiatives, our head of the public market. And I'm hoping that they come back with some great things. Although Detroit, and I said this to Councilman Gruber, said that they said that we have a great public market.
Well, which, so, we do. We do. Which we do.
So, no, it's great to share ideas. Yeah. That should be a future conversation because the market is such a key place.
And we should give a plug for Market Days every Sunday from now until August. We have Garage, the Garage Sale that's going on. And every Friday, Bands on the Brick. And every Wednesday, Food Truck Rodeo. So public market, all happening at the public market. Get out there and take advantage of those things. And they're all free, Evan, all free.
And what the listeners didn't hear is that Mayor Evans committed to having Antiques Roadshow there before he ends his term.
That's right. That's going to happen.
There's $1 million in this budget for the public market. You mentioned a new Maplewood Library. Is there a location chosen for that?
It's going to be at the existing location. And right now, we moved them 2 days ago. 2 days ago, we moved them to a temporary space, but this is going to have thousands of square footage. The Maplewood Library is the busiest library in the city of Rochester. So this expansion is going to be
with a lot of new Americans using it. It's a really vital service for the new American community in the Northwest.
Yeah. And you know, Maplewood is it's got a vibrant YMCA. We recently had, this is something that's outside of the city's control, but I do wonder, Mayor, in our last minute here, when you talk about attracting, whether it's business, whether it's grocery stores, whether it's YMCAs, there's a new CEO of the YMCA.
Great guy.
He was on this program recently, and he said he thinks the Y made the right call with some of the closures and changes in the city. How are you feeling about where the YMCA is in Rochester?
Well, I like the Maplewood Y, and I tell Ernie all the time, I like to have more Ys in the city. I get it. They have their financial pressures. I love the Y. I think we need to have ways to collaborate. Maplewood's a nice Y, but I would like to see more Ys in the city. But I am glad that we are able to partner with them. They do have a new e-gaming site place that they have over at the Maplewood Y. But I get they have their financial pressures. But we're a pretty large city. We're the third largest city in New York State, so it would be nice to see more Ys in the city of Rochester.
Okay, and the Maplewood Nature Park, briefly before we go, that was mentioned as well here. I just want to make sure people know what it is so they can enjoy it.
Yeah, so the Maplewood Nature Park is going to be actually an actual park that will be set aside for people to be able to learn about nature in an urban environment. Often in the urban area, we are disconnected. This will connect us to nature, allow us to have this beautiful facility right in the heart of the Maplewood neighborhood that will be accessible to everyone throughout the city.
At the old training center, if you're familiar with it, that will become the Maplewood Nature Center.
We will link in our show notes to the budget book if you want to take a look at what
read
the city
it.
Of Rochester. Absolutely, read it.
Sorry, I know we're
that's
being
okay. Go ahead.
Summoned off, but our budget book is more transparent and clear to read than ever before.
Yes.
Go to the city website, the new city website, and look things up and ask us questions.
Thank you very much, Rochester Mayor Malik Evans. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Miguel Melendez, President of Rochester City Council.
Thank you.
Mitch Gruber, Member of Council and Chair of the Council's Finance Committee. Thank you.
Thank you.
More connections coming up.